Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
Ladies and gentlemen, a new nut hath arrived. April ushers in the return of not just spring, but a new Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a sample pack of Brewpub Jerky. Jerky, expertly crafted to drink with beer. We've also got a sample pack of Renewed Chaga Chino to make sure your coffee isn't just giving you jitters in the morning. When you're putting shrooms or snickerdoodle coffee mate in your cup of joe, make sure you rinse it after. This month, we've got a mug to remind you to do just that after you're done. And finally, you know the guys from Caviar Farm well enough by now. And this month, you'll get a $25 off coupon to be used site-wide at thecaviarfarm.com. We're not sure how we did it, but this entire box is just $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. Sign up for one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church. We're going to mandate. Get it on. And welcome the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus in his office. Where are you, Mark?
I'm actually in the kitchen at the house.
Oh, you are. Yeah.
I'm at my daughter's at the office, and for some reason I'm excommunicated or been exiled to the house. So how are you, Adam?
I'm doing well. As soon as we hang up, I'm leaving for Laguna Seca.
Yeah. And how long are you going to be there, by the way?
It'll be practice Thursday with some like drivers meetings and some, you know, team meetings. And then I think practice Friday or maybe qualifying Friday with some more team meetings and drivers meetings and stuff like that. And then race Saturday with, Saturday, I don't know, 1 p.m. or something like that. And then probably stay the end of day on Saturday and then probably come back to LA on Sunday.
I'm putting all this together to see if I can't make it happen. I mean, nothing would make me happier. What car are you going to drive?
I'm driving a Camaro, which is a Camaro in name and body only. It's a tube frame car. People want to know what a tube frame car is. I think if you picture, everyone can picture like a spec Miata series. Like Miata has a racing series. Okay, that is a tub-based car. That car started off life as a Miata, and then it was heavily modified to race. A tube frame car looks like a dune buggy. You know, it looks like a sand rail without its body on. It's just a whole bunch of right angles and tubes welded together. And then they hang a body off it that resembles a Camaro, but not any Camaro you've seen. And
oh, there you go.
So it didn't start off life as a Camaro. It might have Camaro taillights and maybe a Camaro windshield, perhaps. But the rest of the car is just made of frame, made of tubes welded together. They hang everything off the tubes, and they hang the suspension pickups and the transmission pickups and the engine mounts. And then, you know, if you poke your head in it, it just looks like a whole bunch of tubes, and you have to crawl in through the window, I think. I don't know if the door works, if they have an operable door or not. And then it's just a bunch of, this is a cage that you get inside of.
And who do you consider to be your stiffest competition? Because you're in the Pro-Am, correct?
Yeah. I'm not in the Pro-Am. I'm just in the Pro. They just,
you're the Pro.
There's no Am. There's no, you know, everyone always downgrades everything. Not you, Mark, but I mean, when, you know, I'll say to people, I'm going to Laguna Seca as a professional Trans Am series, and I'm racing in Trans Am 1. And they go, in the celebrity round?
Yeah, I didn't diss you with that.
No.
You know, it's kind of like when people say to me, oh, celebrity lawyer, like, right. You know, you're wiping it off their shoe.
Trying to devalue your accomplishments. Yes. And yes, I appreciate you looking at me as a celebrity, but there shall be nobody else on that track who doesn't do it for a living. These are all just professional drivers who drive in the Trans Am series, and this is one of their stops. So, I don't know, Gary.
Well, Chris, got to be in the States. This has got to be. I mean, it's a storied location and a storied history.
Laguna Seca is great. Chris sent a video from the racing team, I think, of a guy doing it last year or something like that. You can see what a lap looks like.
I'd love to see that track. Gary, do you have it
in this car? I will in a moment. So we'll get to that. But yes, it's thrilling. It's a little complicated.
Your team?
I think my
Showtime
team is
Motorsports.
Showtime Motorsports. They'll have the semi truck. They'll have the big awning. They'll have the whole, you know, tires and the whole crew and, you know, all the guys who do all the data acquisition and do, you know, stiffen up the suspension and dial stuff in and take the tire temperatures, you know, when you come off the track, and they'll be doing all that stuff. The car is fairly self-explanatory, but there'll be a few buttons inside of it that you either want to hit or stay away from. There's also some messing around with the sway bar. So, you know, anyone's an enthusiast knows what a sway bar is.
Right. I was going to say, is it the standard way, the way you would picture a sway bar behind your head?
That's the roll bar.
Oh,
the sway bar's underneath the car. Back when people would modify cars back in the day, they'd add sway bars. But
did the old 914-6 have a sway bar?
I don't know if it came from the factory with a sway bar, but plenty of people probably added a sway bar kit. These cars have an adjustable sway bar, so you can stiffen them up, meaning on lap 25, your fuel tank, you're using up, you know, half a gallon a lap or whatever it is, right? So now you run 20 laps and you've just taken out 20 gallons of fuel from the back of your car, which has now made the back of your car much lighter than it was when you started the race. So you will adjust the sway bar accordingly to stiffen it up or whatever it up as the race goes on. So there's a couple things to futz around with. Gary has.
Does Gary have it yet? Because I was asked for more. Where do you adjust the sway bar from?
There's a handle to your right on the transmission tunnel, and you will move it around. I'm usually scared to touch things in these cars because I don't know what's going on, and it'd have a full, like, a little display. It'll tell you what gear you're in and, you know, RPMs. It'll have a shift light. Shift it. Maybe
it's got a shift. It doesn't have a shift light that tells you when to shift, does it?
Oh yeah, you'll know I mean, you'll know when it's time to shift because you'll hear it. But we will. We'll see if we can get this. It's not on the screen there, sir. The race hasn't begun yet. You can play it, Gary. This is them warming the tires up. So when you see guys scrubbing, the tires back and forth.
My favorite expression from the wide world of the sport. What he's doing now is warming up the tires.
Yeah, when you see him violently jerking the car back and forth. That's, by the way, when guys like me slide off the track on the parade lap trying to warm up the tires. Now, you'll see the pace car will pull off, and then they'll come around, and it's a rolling start, and everyone will grid up, and you'll look for the green flag. And as they say, once the green flag drops, the bullshit stops. So now they come around. Now they're gridding. They're looking for the green.
The Mustang on the left, what's on the right?
It's probably some Corvettes, a couple of Mustangs, some Camaros in there. They'll bring it around. It's a sequential shifter. You just keep pulling the shifter back. And it's beautiful, Laguna Seca. I mean, it's so... Somebody hung a tire up there on some dirt. So they head up the back hill to the corkscrew, the infamous corkscrew. So you're on the front straightaway, you're over 150, and it's a short straight. So,
it sure doesn't feel like it. Maybe it's the tape. It doesn't feel like 150.
Well, you'll see where you're at 153 miles an hour at a certain point. So you come across the turn at the end of the straightaway, and now he's just going to grab gears. Yeah, so now you get to one. Oh, he got to 151. Now, you can stop it there. Now, this is the beginning of the race, so the tires are still kind of cold, so he'll pick it up a little bit. Can't go too hard at the beginning because you haven't got the tires sufficiently sticky, you know, heated up.
How excited do you get for this?
I'm into it. I'm pumped, but, you know, there's a learning curve. There's lots to deal with. You got to look around for the flags, too, because they're telling you yellow flag, red flag, black flag, blue flag. The one you don't want to see that often is that they have the blue flag with the yellow stripe going down it, which means someone's trying to pass you, essentially, and you're not seeing them.
Although, that's not the Ukrainian flag with the blue and the yellow.
It's close. It's close.
Yeah.
All right, so... Now back.
Well, you know, breaking news today. My buddy Jose Baez, who's been sitting on pins and needles for I think a week. I was just texting to congratulate him this morning. Just got how many counts, Gary? 14 counts.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. 14 acquittals on murder.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the story?
Yeah. Basically, it was a story of a doctor who was being accused of overprescribing fentanyl, of all things, and in most cases trying to aid an end-of-life situation. But there was a patient in their late 30s. Most of them were older, you know, about to succumb by all accounts, and he was being accused of being, you know, too empathetic and leading to their death.
So a kind of Kevorkian kind of case.
Similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this guy was facing, this doctor, the 14 counts. My understanding of the local law there was if convicted on even one out of the 14, life without parole for a minimum of 15 years. Wow. How's that for a role? How's that for, you know, people say, do you ever lose sleep because your client's guilty? No, you lose sleep because you got an innocent client. That's a case where, damn, if Jose has aged himself 14 years in the span of the 2 months it took him to try this case.
Where was it tried out of?
It was in
Ohio.
Ohio, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's been camped out there. In fact, he's taken the time to email and text on occasion over the last couple of months. And like I said, I was just texting with him to congratulate him. But that's quite a win. Jose has had quite a run. I mean, you know, we all lose our share. But, you know, he won this one. He won the Aaron Hernandez. He won Casey. He's had quite a run of cases. And for whatever you think of the practice of criminal law, the idea of having a guy next to you who's been a doctor for, I think, 17 years facing 14 charges, conviction on any one of which would put you away for basically the prime of your life. That's a daunting thing to have to face.
What was the win on the Aaron Hernandez case?
After he got convicted the first time around, they tried a second case. He was acquitted, and if memory serves, I talked to him about this, and he gave a nice presentation on it when we were at National Trial Lawyers. I think Aaron committed suicide the day after the verdict came in. Am I right, Gary? Gary would be in the weeds on this.
Let me look it up. But Adam, if you remember, this was the separate case where he was alleged to have gotten into an altercation at a nightclub.
Uh-huh.
And then he and two of his buddies then apparently went and found that gentleman later. And that was the accusation, at least.
What was the... Why commit suicide the day after you win a case? I mean, he's still in jail. And he still right. has to do the time for the other charges. But that seems ill-timed. But who am I? I'm just a humble international race car driver who
not in a celebrity race.
That's right. Just a race.
It says here it was days.
You know, there are comparisons between the practice of law at that level and having a client's life in your hands. And here you've got your life in your hands and the other race drivers in your hands. It's an all-in pursuit, if you will.
Yeah, well, you try not to hit anybody out there. Gary, what's the story?
It just says here that it was days after his acquittal, so it doesn't specifically say how many.
So what about the whole mask mandate being dropped and then the Florida judge, and now the DOJ is going to the CDC and the BYU. What's going on?
So for those who didn't watch our little appetizer beyond yesterday, I was talking about the mask mandate and this judge whose name I can't remember because I'm too busy getting besieged with she's unqualified by the American Bar Association and she's only 33 when appointed, although now 35. And
Catherine Kimball Mazel.
So, and so what people haven't talked about is that I think to a great extent is the political calculations of the Biden administration meeting, aka the DOJ, taking an appeal here. And it seems to me, if you've seen kind of the reaction to this, I don't know if Gary's got any of them, but this was announced mid-flight on a lot of flights. And there were people cheering, dancing. There were flight attendants throwing it and then doing the Irish jig. There was a guy walking down the aisle with a trash bag saying, "Give me all your polluted mask." And I, in my heart of hearts, I don't think that they being the DOJ, wade into this when they were talking about eliminating it in 2 weeks. The last thing you want to do is be fighting for this if you still really want to hold on to the House in November, if you're a Democrat. And then you combine it, what you're referring to today, Adam, was now the CDC is weighing in and leading on or asking or beseeching the DOJ to appeal it, which I just think is a fool's errand.
So it kind of makes you wonder. It's not politically expedient anymore to, you know, vax mandates, lockdowns, the mask are the last one to go. But judging by the folks who travel, they seem pretty elated that this thing was done with. I mean, I hear people saying, you know, awesome Dawson is like, I'm taking a train to Santa Barbara and I'm so happy. Everyone is reacting the same way. Nobody wants to do it. Why is this a winner politically? Now, if there was some science behind it or airplanes were a vector of transmission or it was an issue, then maybe I get it. But it doesn't. It's about airplanes have never been the issue. They just haven't. They have figured out a few things. Outdoors, never been a problem. Airplanes, never been a problem. It seems to be spread at home. And I know the optics of having a bunch of people confined in one space don't seem to comport with what many people believe is science, but the air is scrubbed and circulated so often that it's just not a vector of transmission. And everyone who runs a major airline says the same thing. Why die on this hill?
Did you see how quickly the airlines eliminated? They were waiting for the ink to dry on the order before they revoked this thing.
Well, not only that, the airlines were so into it that the second it came down, they all got on the blower and told the pilots mid-flight. You know what I mean? I mean, you could have had it. Look, the flights from Burbank to Muncie, Indiana, you know, they're 2.5 hours in. If you're an airline, you could go, wait till they land or we'll start tomorrow or whatever it is. They told everyone mid-flight. I mean, that's how much they wanted this to end. So why are they dying on this hill? And this is just the CDC? And does the CDC get to weaponize the DOJ? Does the CDC get to tell the DOJ, here's what we want you to do?
I think, finally, 2 years in, the calculus has been done. And when I say the calculus has been done, people have finally come to realize that they were hoodwinked. And what I mean is, you can use ad hominem fallacies and attacks on this judge, but I have said all along to you, you've sat and listened to me kind of vent to you about how I believe that the judiciary, you know, save the U.S. Supreme Court, and who would have ever thought me would be sitting here, you know, touting the U.S. Supreme Court, but that they'd abdicated their role as a check and balance for executive action. And, you know, for all the people who are screaming about this decision on my side of the aisle, what the hell are you talking about? It's been 2 years in. You can't have a perpetual emergency. And by the way, there isn't anything to justify it at this point.
Well, Jen Psaki's like up there, as we talked about. She's profoundly disappointed that we've clawed back some of our freedom as Americans. So I understand this is a bad day for her and the Biden administration. But also, she's up there saying stuff like, we just want to extend it a couple of weeks so we can get a little more data in. You don't have sufficient data on flying 2.5 years into this shit show. You've not collected any data. By the way, here's how data works. When it works for you, you recite it chapter and verse. When it's not working for you, you don't bring it into the courtroom. If there's anything we have data for, or at least a potential for data for, it's commercial airlines. They never really fully shut down. I was flying commercial flights at the beginning of the pandemic, the middle, the end, the beginning of the new pandemic, the middle and the end of that. Flights are crowded. Airports are crowded. If we ever had any data on it, this is it. This isn't some church in rural Alabama where the parishioners were singing too loud. This is literally hundreds of thousands of flights every day of the fucking week in every goddamn major city in the United States and internationally. You guys need more data?
Well, by the way, does data really matter also? Because that kind of segues into the next story I really wanted to talk about.
Well, slow your roll. Let me hit a spot here. Cerebral psychiatrists, well, the visits can cost up to $500 a session, and traditional therapy can be over $100. That adds up to thousands a year. Cerebral, online mental health service that offers prescription medication, counseling, and therapy for anxiety, depression, ADHD, insomnia, and more. One of the few services that provides prescription medication online through a licensed provider and ships meds straight to your door. Unlimited messaging with your care team. Connect with your counselor and therapist on your own schedule through the laptop or Cerebral's mobile app. Simone Biles is their chief impact officer because she knows a little something about going through a hard time. She's a huge advocate for reducing stigma around getting treatment. It's Cerebral, right, Gary?
That's right. Listeners of this program can receive 65% off your first month of medication management and care counseling at GetCerebral.com/doubt. Go to GetCerebral.com/doubt for 65% off your first month. That's just a total of $30 to get started. Join Cerebral today on their mission to make quality mental health care available, accessible, and affordable for all.
All right. What's next, Mark?
Okay. So talking about kind of this idea that we're basing our decisions and our governance on things. There was an article today that there has now been pushback on, and it was probably, if I had to guess, it was in the LA Times. It was sent to Gary and me by one of my associates. Gary, do you have the article that I'm talking about? Was it the LA Times?
I'm pulling it up right now to check.
Okay. So basically, what this is,
it was the LA Times, yes.
Of course, because if there's ever a solution to a problem that will help, they've got to take the opposite.
Right.
Look at this headline.
Opposition mounts against Newsom's plan for court-ordered treatment for homeless people.
Yeah.
Yeah, opposition.
Opposition, right. I wonder who the opposition is. Gary, can you put up one of the quotes here? Because this quote is precious.
Yeah, just let me find the right section here, but I'll put it up on your screen.
There you go. So basically what this is the care court. And this is not something new, by the way. This is something that has been utilized with great success, but only in like little micro chips. The advocates, whoever they are, have blasted this as involuntary and coercive treatment that would strip individuals of their personal liberties and perpetuate institutional racism and worsen health disparities.
Oh, it's institutional racism? Wow.
Yes.
I love
it. Yeah. I mean, it is. They said care court flies in the face of any evidence-based approach to ending homelessness. You know why? Because it prioritizes, read it, mental health services, not housing, as the initial step toward recovery, which would deviate from California's housing first principles. By the way, where are those housing first principles of California? Where do those exist? Because I reread the Constitution this morning. I didn't see them there. I don't understand. And you know what this is, by the way? This is a sustained attack on the idea that homelessness is a housing issue as opposed to a mental health issue as a first kind of a touchstone. And they bury it in there, but not before they kind of level an attack.
This notion that it's housing, a lack of affordable housing, it is so counterintuitive to any logic that anybody has. And everyone has gone through it. I've told people a million times, I started off life with a roommate, then I had a third roommate in a one-bedroom apartment, then I had three or four guys in a rented house, and I carried this through my entire life until I got into show business. I always had roommates. We always rented bad apartments. We usually had an extra roommate, and we're down a room. So, you know, if you wanted to do a two-bedroom back in the day, that would have cost you $900 a month. But if you did a one-bedroom with two of you, then you could get one for $475 a month, but someone was sleeping on the sofa. And in my case, a futon with another dude. And after that, literally bunk beds from my buddy Chris's childhood. His little brother had a bunk bed, and we slept on a bunk bed.
Used to have buddies who would, like, we would, like you, because we led somewhat parallel lives, we used to rent these houses, and they were always in neighborhoods that where we could afford, which would not have been, you know, the hardscrabble streets as you'd describe it of La Cañada. But I had buddies who would show up generally with the old style van, you know, VW van or the serial killer van, the old Ford Econoline. And then they would park. They would either crash in the back of the van and then come in to use the kitchen and the restroom, or they would crash on the couch and the van would be kind of a walk-in closet, so to speak. But that was life for a good 5 to 7 years of mine.
The life. Los Angeles is filled with apartment buildings that are filled with like multi-generational Hispanic families with like the grandma and the dad and seven people living in one unit. It's all very doable. Now, if you're strung out on fentanyl and you're clinically insane, it is not doable. And that's the only, this perpetual wheel of arguing about the problem is low-cost housing. That's insane. Look, I've said it a million times. You can learn everything you need to know by just going, do you know a human being that slept on a sidewalk for more than a day who was just out of an apartment? Like, I don't have an apartment. I can't find a job. I will go sleep in a box underneath the freeway. Do you know that person? Have you seen that person? Do you have a family member? Do you know of somebody? Had you heard? High school buddy. In with a lack of drugs and psychosis, who do you know that has done that? The answer is nobody. It's the same answer when you go, oh, COVID's killing people. Does anyone know a 14-year-old boy who's died of COVID? Does anyone know them? I'm not talking about the fucking story you saw at a New Brunswick. I'm asking you, who do you know? Whose family member? Whose friend? Whose friend of a friend? Sonny has 1,000 friends. Natalia has 1,000 friends. Is there a person that was claimed by COVID? Answer, no. That's how you know it's not a problem. You'll know everything. You don't need spreadsheets. You don't need data.
By the way, have you actually spent any time either living or working next to the unhoused? Because I do on a daily basis, whether it's LA or New York, I live and work amongst the people on the streets, and I've yet to find any, and I sit and talk and chat with them because I enjoy it. I've inherited that from my father, who also could spend hours with characters, so to speak. And this is not a housing situation. The most of these people that I encounter want to be outdoors, want to be on drugs. It is an addiction, or it is mental health. And it's frustrating that we now have opposition to these kind of what I call little laboratories that are working of homelessness courts, which hold people accountable and give them an option. And I don't understand where we get the housing first principle. And but guess what? I'll give you. Just say for the last 10 years, California had a housing first principle. That was our guiding, that was our North Star, that was our light. Okay? I'm with you. I got it. How did that work out the last 10 years with the housing first principle? Have you seen a spectacular course correction of housing and homelessness in California? Because I missed it. It passed me by. I'll give you the thought experiment you gave to me. Name somebody who says, wow, this was a smashing success. So why not pivot and try something else where we say, maybe this housing first principle didn't work. Let's try putting mental health first.
Well, if you really think about it, first off, it can't be housing. Number two, just what you said, fine LA Times and build the fucking houses. What's going on? Number three, you'll never be able to build enough houses, A, because we're so overregulated in building and permits and all that kind of stuff. It's way too cost prohibitive to build in LA because we're so overregulated. But even if we did, and even if we built these houses at a steady rate, all that would do is open the floodgates for America's homeless to come to Los Angeles and get a free house. I mean, how they're already coming here already for because
well, I've got a good idea. Remember, we talked yesterday and beyond a reasonable doubt. We talked about the fact that the LA Times has abandoned downtown LA. And by the way, they were the ones who originally, people forget this. I'm old enough to have a memory for this. The LA Times used to encircle their building in downtown LA with a sprinkler system because they were so upset about the people who were sleeping on their right next to their building, and they would wet them down animals.
Wow.
Yeah. So So next time they seize the moral high ground on you, remember that. And they move to El Segundo. Okay, well, you want to put your money where your mouth is? It's a housing problem. Take that building downtown and turn it in a la Elon Musk and the Twitter headquarters who wants to turn it in. Do it for homeless housing. Turn your headquarters into homeless housing while you're at it. Turn your El Segundo location into housing for the homeless if you're so concerned that it's and you actually believe it's a housing problem as opposed to a mental health issue.
Well, also, we've done a kind of micro experiment already, like during COVID in San Francisco and in Los Angeles, we did this thing where we're going to take these hotels and we're going to open them up to the homeless people. That was a world-class shit show. It has to be. It's impossible.
Oh, wait, let me tell you. Four blocks away from Engine Company, what used to be a beautiful hotel, my brother actually got married there in 84, whatever, it was the Grand Hotel. It's now a homeless hotel. Two of my people who work with me have been assaulted by people from that hotel, chasing both these women down the street, throwing shit at them on Figueroa. So don't tell me that this is a housing issue. You can house anybody you want, but if you haven't treated their mental health issues, it's all for naught.
Well, listen, I mean, imagine you just said, you know, hey, Andy Dick, I'll just give you a condo and you just live in it for free. Come back in 4 months, see what that place looks like. And he's way saner than the average person that's sleeping on the street. All right, let me hit Ultimate Ears. Well, there's tech you use every day. You know, I don't know, your phone and TV remote, all that kind of stuff, tablet. We rely on devices so much it's easy to forget the hardware. And sometimes the stuff you're born with, like your ears, no two are exactly alike. So the earbuds, they probably cause discomfort because they feel like they just made a shoe that was just 9. Well, people have size 13 and size 6, but you just got one shoe supposed to fit all. Well, it's not going to be comfortable for all. UE fits true wireless custom fit earbuds from Ultimate Ears. Premium sound, all day comfort, stuff you mold it. You can do it in 60 seconds. It's a perfect fit. Stuff that used to have a professional tech do this for you. 8 hours continuous playback on a single charge. Up to 20 hours in the charging case as well. And if you don't love them as much as we all love them here, because we all use Ultimate Ears here, they got a money-back guarantee, plus free shipping, free returns, and a one-year warranty. Am I right, Gary?
You are right. Use promo code DOUBT at UE.com/FITS to get your pair of UE fits. That's UE.com/FITS, promo code DOUBT.
All right, Mark, any other stories you had your eye on?
We got so many. I mean, it would be hard-pressed. I don't know if Gary's got any more tape from today, but the
I couldn't watch any more of it. I had it on the TV. He talks so slow.
Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Correct.
And by the way, the theory that we were kind of going through yesterday on Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, I have confirmed it anecdotally all over town today. I've been everywhere in the Los Angeles County Basin today. And it is uniformly women reacting with, oh, she's crazy. I don't know how he put up with her. I really feel for her. And guys reacting like Gary and you or me do, which is, dude, get a grip. I mean, what the hell are you doing here, basically? I mean, it's I don't know what the gender in-between crowd reacts, but or how they react. But all I know is that those who are cis tend to have there tends to be a great divide where you can tell the difference.
Well, I was thinking about you when I was watching the trial, because I watched a part where he cut his finger. She threw a vodka bottle at him.
Vodka bottle.
But I was thinking of you, Mark, and I was thinking of you coming in there with some sort of bottle ballistics expert wanting to know if it was a Russian-based vodka, potato-based, or was it Kamchatka? Was it Stoli? Like, you'd have your guy in there. But I'm thinking
he could tell you if it was handcrafted Tito's, right, or whether we had
Stoli. How does one slice one's finger when one throws a bottle at some, you know, like what I'm saying is I've had a bottle broken over me, by the way. Didn't cut me, but I did have
over your head.
No, it was thrown at me and it broke right on my shoulder bone. But if somebody throws a bottle at you, it probably doesn't slice your finger. It may break on the ground and then you pick it up and like slice your finger. But this thing like threw a bottle at me and it sliced my finger off. Seems weird.
It does seem weird. The only thing I've been able to come up with.
The bottle.
Right.
If you break the bottle, then throw the bottle, and instinctually the bottle receiver puts the hand up. I could see it.
That's not where my head was going. My head was going that the bottle goes at him. He moves violently to try to dodge it, and then it breaks on a wall behind him. And as he's kind of falling or doing whatever he was doing to avoid the bottle, puts a hand down and hits a jagged piece of it.
All right.
In my head. I haven't heard anyone say that.
Gary's actually choreographing this with kind of a bet the film noir angle to it. I love it.
And you're doing sort of a Brando Wild Ones biker 50s film
exactly.
Move.
I'm dating myself with the boom and the boom, right? Coming at you.
You had a bottle broken over your head?
Yeah, I had a bottle broken over my head back when I was waiting tables. You know where Parkway Grill is now, mm-hmm. Right next to the Chop House. When I was in high school, that was Emily's restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those nights when you would wait table. After I graduated from being a busboy cleaning up puke in the urinal, mm-hmm. I got to wait tables. And, you know, you would see some, this back in the mid-70s, you'd see some fisticuffs, as we used to say, mm-hmm. At the end of the night. And there was one fight where kind of a guy came at me, I came back at him, and then next thing you know, there's a bottle over my head, which is, you know, that's a very, you can bleed a lot from the back of the head.
Oh, yeah. Always look, anyone who watches the UFC, guy gets a cut, and it's just a horror show. All right, we got one more, or do we want to bring it home? What do you got, Gary?
We could talk a little.
Little what?
We could talk a little Rust.
Oh, Rust, that's yes. Right. Yeah, yes. What happened?
Good. So today, I believe it was the state of New Mexico, their version of OSHA, might have even been OSHA, released a scathing report. Gary will put up maybe part of it, but they talk about, you know, I hate to say coming attractions of what we talked about months and months ago. But the way they laid it out is a absolute blueprint of exactly the kinds of cost-cutting, negligence, and it was a devastating report. Brian Panish, who's handling the lawsuit for the widow, the widower is going to have a field day with this. This will take him into negligence per se.
It's a pretty wild report. It's 11 pages long. I read the whole thing, and basically you get to the end, and it's just there's a list of like 7 or 8 people that all just look absolutely awful, and like they were purposefully ignoring safety, and you know there was emails detailing like the how this was going to eventually be a problem. It's scathing.
Yeah. And by the way, I will tell you that this puts an awful lot of pressure on the district attorney to file charges, criminal charges. I mean, this report, it takes, this is not, they neglected this, they neglected that. This is a damning indictment of what happened on that set.
Well, if you go back and check the tape, people would say to me, come on, Baldwin, you know, come on, he, you know, what exposure does he really have criminally? And I said, well, none now, but wait till they get the trove of emails. Wait till they get all the stuff of all the people going, this gun handler, she's inexperienced. She's not, you know, she's not capable of doing the job. And then someone writes back, she's cheap. We're keeping her, you know, or whatever. There's no such thing. As running a business, doing a production, filming a movie or whatever, when they start doing a deep dive into emails and text and the discovery, there's always stuff there. Always. Here's your options. You can have a medium amount of shit when they look into that stuff or a shitload of shit. There is no nothing. There's always stuff. And so...
In the hands of a good prosecutor, they can paint a damning picture.
Yeah, and my thing was they will start looking around. Baldwin's a producer. They're going to find stuff, and this stuff is maybe more than I thought they would find, but they have to. There's no other choice. So you think a criminal case...
Oh, I think that this is the template for a criminal case alleging gross negligence. And I've said, by the way, as you said, save the tape. I've said it from the beginning. There is no way, no how. I don't care how progressive the prosecutor is, that they're going to walk away from something like this. They just can't.
Are they going after Baldwin?
I think it's going to be very difficult for a prosecutor to bring a case against an underling and not against the guy who actually had the gun, who also had a producer title.
I will say, for my money, he comes out pretty okay in this thing. The focus is on others more than him. Like, there's a section where it's discussed that he was holding the gun, but that's kind of the only reference to Alec Baldwin, aside from explaining at the top that he was a producer on the film.
All right. Well, we shall keep you posted. Last but not least, there's Geico. Would you love to save a little money on your auto insurance? Well, of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance, every insurance, Geico can help. Insurance on your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage as well. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, and you can switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and find out just how much you could save at geico.com. All right, go to amcarolla.com for all the live shows. What do you got, Mark?
Ooh, you've got, if you're in Palm Springs this weekend, stop by Gigi's at the V Hotel. Say Reasonable Doubt. They'll give you something, I'm sure. If you're in San Clemente, stop by Casa Tropicana, Pierside Restaurant. If you're in New York, go by the Grand Central Terminal at Prova. Or in the Moxie Hotel, we've got Love Pizza. So we got all kinds of stuff going on.
So, till next time, I'm Carl for Mark Garrigo saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV. Plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
Hey, we got a cool opportunity for fans of the Adam Carolla Show. The Big Idea with Dr. Gadgets, a new show at Podcast One. Dr. Gadget speaks to experts of their industry and asks about how they build their business. The program is presented by Master Spas, a leading spa retailer who is giving